You're listening to Innovation for Alpha, where we explore everything at the intersection of healthcare innovation and finance. Through our discussions and interviews, we keep you informed and educated about healthcare innovations, next-level venture investing, and everything involving the combination of the two.
Hi, everybody. This is Tobin Arthur with the Innovation for Alpha podcast, and I am really looking forward to some conversations with David Finkel, who is the founder of Maui Mastermind. He's an author, speaker, does it all. And I've gotten to know David. I've attended one of his workshops. I know some of his clients, and it is all glowing in terms of the outcomes and things that David and his organization have achieved. So, David, I'm really excited to spend some time with you today. Appreciate you spending the time with me.
Yeah, of course, Tobin. It's a pleasure. It'll be a lot of fun.
David, let's start off just with a little bit of your background, give everybody some context. Tell us about how you came to create Maui Mastermind. What did you do before that? And then we'll get into why Maui Mastermind.
So after playing sport and retiring with injury in my mid-20s, I got started in a business that was doing coaching in a specific niche industry. And we built that over the course of about a decade to the largest player in that industry, working with about 2,000-3,000 coaching clients a year. And then I sold it. I was 35, sold it, and trying to figure out what do I want to do next. And for me, the things that I love, business has always been a puzzle. It's been enjoyable. I mean, I got to watch firsthand. My grandfather owned a pharmacy. My dad was a physician for 40 plus years in his practice, internal medicine and nephrology, and watching how he did it versus how I did it was really instructive. He approached it like a physician and he did a great job. He was a phenomenal doctor, but the idea of the business was uncomfortable. And I realized that for me, I loved the business portion. And so I built another business coaching company, Maui Mastermind. And we've been working now for close to 20 years with entrepreneurs and business owners. How do they grow a business, not just a job? And that's been our real focus since then.
That's neat. Well, I didn't even realize your father was a physician. Yeah. So that's a great tie into some of the things we're going to talk about. And just so everybody knows, we're going to break this conversation up into a couple of different episodes because they're a bit thematic. And so if you like some of the things we talk about here in the first portion, you're going to like the things that come subsequently to that. Let me just ask you about the name. So Mastermind, you know, some people may reference Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill's famous book where he talks about having a mastermind group. Was that a little bit of where that portion of the name came from, or how did it evolve?
It was originally 25, 26 years ago. And it just always fascinated me as the idea. I'd watched what happens when a group and it becomes more than just a committee, becomes more than just a team. And I saw that in my world of sports. I used to play field hockey in the US national team. And when we had the right chemistry, boy, we were amazing. And when we didn't, boy, we stunk. And so when I got into the business world, the first company, my partner decided on the name. But the second one, since it was just me, I thought, you know, I really like this. We had an event going on once a year in Maui for our high-end clients. And we called that event Maui Mastermind, and we just kept it. This idea of a group of people who are focused as a community, not unlike, for example, Angel MD is an example of a mastermind community. How can we help source and serve each other? And we've done that with a business community ourselves, and that's where the name came from.
I love it. And as I got to know a bit about the organization, and I was able to read some of your books, but one of those books is Grow Your Medical Practice and Get Your Life Back, which I found incredible. It breaks down very simply for physicians a lot of the concepts that I imagine you're applying to all kinds of small and mid-sized businesses. Talk a little bit about how you came to write this book, and again, even going back to your father's experience, the fact is physicians, while different, dentists, doctors, they are in fact small and mid-sized business. So talk a little bit about the evolution of getting into the healthcare portion of your practice.
Sure. So first of all, a few kind of data points. You know, in our coaching practice, probably the largest single niche are service and professional service firms. And of those professional service firms, medical is by far the biggest. And I'll include dental in there and even chiropractic in that niche. Sure. And so, I mean, I watched my dad. He was a phenomenal doctor. But the whole idea of running a business, he completely abdicated to Nancy, who was his office manager. And thankfully, she was honest, as far as I could tell looking in. But when I watched him walk away from his business, he just did what most physicians do. He didn't sell the practice, didn't think it had a value. And had he just done a few different things along the way, he could have sold that practice for several million dollars and then retired. Now, he thankfully had saved along the way and invested in his building and some other things, so he's okay with that part, but it was painful to watch. And so I'd written a book with a friend of mine, a guy who had started a company called Priceline.com, and we wrote this book, Scale. And what I kept hearing from our medical clients time after time, yeah, but my life, my business, my practice is different. And I smiled because I, at that point, had worked with hundreds of different medical groups, and I knew that it wasn't different. It just was a perspective on that part. Yes, there were some things that were specific to that niche, whether it be regulatory or how the business models do and don't work, the various laws that govern what we can and can't do. But the business aspects were very similar, and our clients who had realized that or let us guide them to realize that, it had great result. And so I finally just locked myself in a room and finished that book, which was a redo of a book earlier called Build a Business, Not a Job, just for medical groups. And just to speak and just quiet that voice that said, all these things make sense for every other company out there in the world, but us medical folks, we're that different, that unique. And the price they pay by being different and unique is they have a company that is stressful. They have a company that's reliant on them. They have a company that has less of an enterprise value. And most importantly, they have a company that they don't serve as greatly as they could if they made a few simple shifts and changes strategically in the format and the structure.
Well, that last point's really well taken, which is, you know, it's not just about them. It's about being of even greater service to their communities. But one of the things that's unique about doctors is, unlike many entrepreneurs who may have had some, you know, affiliation or experience with business, you know, in medical school, residency, et cetera, they give no exposure to business. So here they are, you know, starting to serve patients, and these become, in most cases, you know, multi-million dollar enterprises. And so they're, you know, they're challenged with hiring and challenged with building systems that are just very foreign to them. And then, as you kind of indicate, on top of that, they're very, very busy with the patient side of the practice. And so what do you find, what's the moment where physicians get to the point, you know, in their career and say to themselves, is this really it? Because I do think, you know, the mindset of physicians is they're programmed to think this is your calling. This is kind of what's required to you. You're going to have a challenging family life. You're going to dedicate yourself. You know, there's almost like a calling, if you will. And so as a result, your personal life is going to suffer. And I think a lot of them go for decades with that expectation. But how do you find the moment where they go, there's got to be a better way to do this?
Yeah. And it's interesting. The AMA, American Medical Association, 2019 made that the year talking about physician burnout. They saw what was going on. Now, they didn't quite know how to solve that, but they did put their finger to it. Mm. You know, when do I see the light switch go on? When we have a group full of people and the doctors in the room hear of a practice where they've done this, then they start getting interested. But then they still have that voice that says, yeah, but they're different. There's situations different in my world. They hear the second one and they say, that's great. Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah, but it's somewhere by the time they hear this 5, 6, 7, 8 different practices for how physicians, like, I'll give an example. One of the groups we work with, they do bariatric surgery procedures, you know, lap bands, et cetera. And they have a really great practice in Nevada. We sort of started working with just one surgeon with a surgical team. They did a good volume. He was very good at what he did. His name's Tom. But, you know, since that point here, 8 years later, Tom now has 2 other surgeons that do. He takes 22 weeks off a year. Nice. And the practice is 5 times more profitable. You know, you hear that once, you go, oh my gosh, but not me. Okay. But now you hear a dozen of those stories and you finally say, okay, I'm finally ready to acknowledge that if this could be true, that I could build a practice that I still contribute to, I still create value in, but it's not completely reliant on me. That would be something that I want. And that's the opening. And until that point happens, you know, the main provider, the main founding physician, he or she is just going to be working extraordinarily hard and doing the management on the side. And what's going to happen, I see it. You know, at one point, they're going to either sell the practice and stay as an employed physician, or they're going to keep working and just become more and more burned out from what they do and jaded, feeling like this wasn't what they originally came into medicine to do.
Well, it's interesting. You just hit on a topic that I didn't actually expect us to go down. But in fact, more and more physicians and dentists are selling their practices and becoming employees. And, you know, the trend is enormous. I think it's well over half of doctors now.
It is.
Dentists is even higher. And so talk a little bit about that, you know, maybe some of the, what you hear once they do become employees, because, you know, what I hear is they're not great employees. They like their autonomy. And then all of a sudden now they've got to punch a clock. But how do they maintain that independence? Because all of the forces, you know, they feel are against them, regulatory and reimbursements and all those things.
Yeah. I mean, so there's good news and bad news. I'll share the bad news first. You know, if you do go the route of an employee physician, what's going to happen is the first 1 or 2 years, you're happy because you're not dealing with staff challenges the same way. Mm-hmm. You don't feel it's on your shoulders. But within that 12, 24 month period, you do start to have the friction of they're running it differently. I don't like what they're telling me to do. They're changing how many I should be seeing consults in a day. They're changing this procedure. You see it time after time after time. That's the bad news. The good news of it is, and this is what does work, when you come at this as a business perspective, here's the good part. In medicine, most physicians are not very good business people. They're not. They didn't have the training for it, the rest of it, which makes it small changes done well can make a radical shift. The beauty of it is most of the physicians are some of the brightest individuals on the planet. And so they get this stuff intellectually. Now, if we can just get them in from cognitive to actual limbic and actually have them doing it, acting on it, behaving it, where coaching or other types of ongoing support come in, their competition is not as great as they fear. The big players in the community, they tend to turn off a lot of the referral bases. Yes, they have a lot of weight because they have economically a lot of force in a community, but there is a certain type of hidden rebelliousness about most of the referral base that would prefer to see David tramp over Goliath. And I see that time and time again. If only I am a better business person. And it's not that hard to be a better business person.
So I want to wrap up this introductory part with a couple of thoughts you've just shared and that I took from the book. First of which is they're not alone. This is not as unique as they think. And I wholeheartedly agree with, as you said, once you start hearing some of the testimonials, and you've got some great ones in the book that start to say, wait a minute, this practice could work for me and not the other way around. And the other thing that you just mentioned that I think is really powerful is that these are not huge shifts. There is a lot of work, but you've broken it down incrementally. And you talk about the Pareto principle, which we'll get to in a little bit. But this idea that small changes can have big levers and can make big differences over time. And I think the other piece of this is that there's a team effort here, and we'll get into to why that is. So great introduction. And I think for any physician or dentist that's listening to this, that's thinking, man, I'm working 60, 80, 90 hours a week. I don't see my family. I'm taking call. Reimbursements are going in the wrong direction. I'm making less money than I did 10 years ago, and I'm working harder, and I'm on this hamster wheel. I can't get off. I guess the bottom line is you're saying you absolutely can get off. There's a systematic way to get there.
That's right.
Okay, perfect.
See you again soon for the next episode of Innovation for Alpha. Make sure to go to Innovation for Alpha for access to prior episode links, show notes, and other valuable resources. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any investment decisions, please consult with a professional. This show is copyrighted by Angel Indie Media, and written permission must be granted before syndication or rebroadcasting.